No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world, and today I am here with one of my favorite rappers of all time, Boosie motherfucking Badass, and his latest signee, and someone that I feel like I was at least slightly helpful in sort of bringing to the scene, to the limelight, Lil Blurry.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Are we good?
I'm
we good.
Fire.
You guys seem like, you know what this is? This is the future of hip-hop and like the backbone of hip-hop.
Right.
And I like seeing you embracing the new generation. It's very powerful.
Right. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to get my bear guard on.
I know how you feel, too, because I know you, like, for those that don't know, Boosie Badass, one of the most street motherfuckers in the history of the universe. I know you, like, perceive the hip-hop landscape, and you're seeing the little skies, and you're seeing the little pumps, and you're seeing the juice worlds and all that shit.
Right.
And you're like, you know what? That's a business to be in.
Right. Of course. It's a thriving business, but with Blurry, he's different. You know, look at him; he doesn't look like them.
He's always stood out to me. What was it about him, and how did he even get brought to you?
He got brought to me by one of my other artists. I was in the bed like 1 o'clock at night. He brought me. He like, no, you got to see this big dog. You got to see what I'm talking about.
Right.
And soon as I saw him, like I woke up, I was like, I had to do my research. I'm like, nobody's got this kid, man. This it.
Yeah.
You know, I believed in him. As soon as I saw him, I believed in him. I knew it. I knew it.
Was it that one video clip of him singing right outside the car? That's what did it for me.
It was all of them. You know, it was all the funny stuff, too, when he was saying he would be grounded and, you know, things like that.
Right. What was it like the first time you met Boosie, or how did this connection take place from your perspective?
It was great, I think. You know, we met. We talked on Instagram before.
Uh-huh.
And then we had a little meeting.
What was the meeting like?
It was good.
Were you a little intimidated?
No.
No? You hadn't heard like, oh, Boosie, he's a crazy motherfucker. He's been around for a long time. You know, you didn't hear any stories about him. You were like, damn, I don't
know. No, not really. Really? I wasn't scared. I was happy.
Right. And you've been in the streets for a while yourself, right?
Streets?
Yeah. I don't know. Any streets?
No.
What street are you from? Where are you from?
San Francisco.
Right. So what did you grow up listening to?
Like Weezer, like a lot of like rock, Green Day.
Weezer. You never, what do you think of Boosie's music and when did you start listening to it?
Me?
Yeah.
I've only heard like a few songs, but I know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, I know.
His name carries weight.
Right.
What was it about him that really, was it just like seeing somebody who was sort of like young, energetic, and what was it?
I think the Emotions record grabbed me. The Emotions record, even the graphics on the record grabbed me. Then I just scrolled his Instagram and I said, you know, if I put my boots behind this kid, we'll go viral. Like if I put my boots behind this kid, cause we're gonna have so many critics. But that's what I've been doing my whole life, proving people wrong.
Mm.
And I knew that. And I was like, I'm going to sign this kid. And we went up there and it's been crazy ever since.
Do you feel like he needs a Boosie fade to fit in or not?
Nah, we got the blurry flip.
The blurry flip?
Blurry flip. That's actually a good way to describe it.
Yeah, the blurry flip.
Right. You think I could rock the Boosie fade?
I don't know. It's gone. I think
you think?
In Atlanta, they'll paint you a Boosie fade.
All right, because one of my friends wanted to know what I would look like with a Boosie fade, so I just wanted to sort of give you an idea.
You don't have that nugget right, though.
Well, let's just take a look. Let's see what you think.
No, you need it. You got it.
What do you think?
It's a certain thing that we got without. Ooh!
I hope the people at home.
Oh, man, that got my ball.
This took a lot of Photoshop last night to make this happen. The first version he gave me, it was not high enough. It was way too low. I was like, bro, that does not look like a Boosie fade.
That's hard.
I'm pretty happy about this. I'm not going to lie.
Hard.
Shout out my boys. Ain't nobody cool who made this happen.
Oh, man.
They're like the biggest fans of you ever. So I tossed them the idea. I was like, how do you feel about making a shirt with Lil Blurry with a Boosie fade? And they were like, how about you with a Boosie fade? I'm like, man, whatever you want to do, just send it over.
Yeah.
Fire. Can I get my phone? Because I need to reference my questions, my notes. All right. So Yeah, you guys are out here in LA, and I noticed that that you've been excited about the weed out here, which I was just like, man, that must be such a crazy thing for you to have gotten in so much bullshit throughout your life over weed, and then now you can just come to California and talk about it on Instagram, and it's nothing.
Right, it's legal.
Yeah. How's that feel?
It feels good because, you know, I went through so much for so long, not being able to smoke.
Right.
Sent to prison for marijuana, like, marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
You, people, like, you don't go to prison for marijuana anymore in a lot of states.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's, you know, I get a privilege sometimes. I like, you know, smiling, you know, and it's legal.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. Also, shout out to our sponsor, Bearwoods, if you guys want to smoke any. We got plenty sitting around here. Yeah, so, okay, I had one really, really important question, which I wanted to mention, just because in Blurry's interview, or in Blurry's song, the first song I ever got to listen to, I heard him mentioning Pouring Up. And I was like, I really want to know what Boosie's opinion of him talking about that in a song is, as somebody who's sort of like been around the block in that regard so many times.
Nah, I think it was just a throw out there. Like, he ain't pouring up. He ain't doing no drugs.
Yeah, I don't do any of that. That was just a troll.
Oh.
Like, you know, I was trying to make a rap song.
That's a good idea to call it a troll instead of just saying, yeah, I was just saying some shit.
Yeah.
That was Port of Fort. You know, I play a lot of Fortnite.
Port of Fortnite.
I don't know what a four is.
A Fortnite. I like the kids version of it. Yeah. Because, I mean, but do you think about that in terms of, like, what kind of stuff he might be exposed to? Because I'm sure you think about it all the time in terms of, like, what you allow your kids to be exposed to. But with him coming from a completely different environment, it must be even another decision.
With me as Blurry CEO, you know, I got to be a father figure for him, too, as far as in hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I got, you know, a lot of stuff going to come his way. I got to coach him on things like that. And that's what I'm here for. You know, I ain't finna let him rap about guns and all that. You know, like, he's swagged out. It's swagged out. You know, like, he got substance. Like, it sound good.
Mm.
So we just gonna keep on making good music, like, in his work. People don't understand his work ethic. Like, he go in the studio and make 2-3 songs in an hour. So that's talent. Like, you just put the beat on. Let's go.
Right.
A lot of people can't do that.
You have a conversation with his parents?
Yeah, his dad is with us right now.
Oh, he is?
No, he's not with us right here. But
oh, okay. He's back at the hotel or something?
Yeah, he's back at the Airbnb.
That's crazy. What did your dad say when you told him you want to be a rapper?
Well. You know, like, he was cool with it because, mm-hmm. like, I always made music, so, yeah.
Yeah. What do your parents do?
I don't really, like, play sports. I just make music.
Have you always been on that, though? Because I've seen videos of you when you were 4 playing the piano like a motherfucker.
Yeah, that's all I've really been doing.
You've just been doing it since you're a little kid.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I also really appreciate you always rocking the No Jumper merch over the years, too. That's crazy. Fire. Yeah, I appreciate it, man. It's just nice to see the young kids supporting and everything. What do you... Have you ever had conversations about, like, respecting his elders and stuff? Because that's an issue that comes up a lot in hip-hop lately.
Respecting his elders?
Yeah, just in the sense that you got all these rappers dissing Tupac, and you got all these rappers just talking about rap like they invented it and everything.
Nah, he's so young, he don't even know these rappers.
Mm.
Like, you know, I FaceTimed him with P. Diddy. He didn't even really know who P. Diddy was, Puff Daddy.
Right.
You know, he's not starstruck. He don't even know these people. He's been 13 3 days.
Like, yeah. Wait, you're just turning 13?
Yeah.
Holy shit, I thought you were like 15 or something.
Nah, he just turned 13 3 days ago.
2004.
Five,
that's when you were born?
Yeah.
2005. There was this thing called MySpace back in the day.
What is that?
It was a website, yeah. That was what I was putting a lot of time into. I was meeting a lot of young ladies on MySpace back then.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, man, 2004. Good years. Yeah, man. What did you think of the Blurry and DJ Academics feature? Because I thought that was a pretty interesting move. You helped make that happen, or was it his idea?
DJ Academics, he believed in Blurry.
He did? He reached out and wanted to do that?
Yeah, like, he believed in Blurry. He feel it. Like, he like, man, this kid gonna go, man. I won't do for you what I did for everybody else, you know? Like, and we gonna accept that with open arms. Anybody trying to help the Blurry movement, you know?
That's
fire. Like, shout out to Academics. Like, he really, like, helped me
You believe in his rap skills? You write that verse for him?
No.
No.
He made that himself.
He admits. Did you see him write it?
Nah.
That'd be skeptical then, because he said that he has people writing this shit for him.
Nah, but shout out to academics.
Yeah, I mean, that's all right. Rap's different now.
Yeah.
Would you ever let somebody write something for you?
No.
No, you got integrity. I'm glad Boosie taught you that.
Nah, he writes his own shit. Like, we do all this shit.
It's crazy, man. Like, we've been having conversations because we've been listening to so much of your shit for the past few days, and it's like, there's that whole generation of rappers who are so obviously, like, formed from the Boosie fucking blueprint. When you look at YoungBoy, yeah. Kodak, you got right. Soulja Kid and Glock 9 and a lot of these dudes, and it just feels like they, and I know in some cases that they, like, grew up and you were the dude 100%. And right. then when you see their shit, it's like your DNA is mapped into that shit.
Right, right.
How does
right.
that feel when you see, do you get that feeling when you're watching somebody like YoungBoy?
Yeah, when I see all of them, I see, cause you know, all of them respect me, bro. All of them give me my,
definitely.
Give me my respect as far as what my music did for them, as far as raising them in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I see it, you know, only thing I don't be liking is when they make the same mistakes I made.
Mm.
You know, like going to jail and shit like that. Like, you know, I don't like to see them in jail. I like to see them shining, bro.
Mm.
But, you know, like, damn near every interview I do, people tell me that, like, they see a lot of them, you know, the ones that's, you know, taking off in that kind of lifestyle.
When we were doing the deep, yeah. we were doing the deep dig into your Instagram last night, man, the clips of you doing the talent show with your kids,
yeah.
and your kid comes out with no shirt on, rocking the chain, singing, no smoke, no smoke. I was dying, bro. I was trying to picture what YoungBoy would think about that, too, because you're sitting there filming it, dying. You can't believe it.
Yeah, bro.
So good.
You know, he got that generation. You know, he got that generation that... that's looking up to him in the ghetto,
mm.
and you know they like YoungBoy, bro. You know we support him.
All these young kids, that's like it's such a like common hero to young kids, and he's like the number one most streamed dude on YouTube right now and shit. Like yeah. the number of kids who fuck with YoungBoy is like unbelievable, and it's like I don't know. I see him have like sort of carrying on a lot of that energy that I always got from your music, which I thought was pretty incredible.
Right, right. You know we from the same city, so. We're gonna talk that gangster stuff like that, you know. You just gotta, you know, stay focused and stay out of jail. That's it. We stay out of jail, we rich.
It's kind of crazy because you in a lot of ways, right when you were sort of hitting your stride in the industry and shit, is when the legal problems came right into it, and you sort of like missed some of that opportunity to have that moment in the way that everybody knew that you were talented enough to have. Don't you think?
Right, 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 right. Like you know what I'm saying. I got set back. Everybody had 5 years on me. Everybody had a 5-year jump on me.
Versus a lot in the rap game.
That's forever in the rap game. So everybody had a 5-year jump on me. I just came home and, you know, started passing people up, you know.
That's a fact. Do you feel like in a way you're sort of making up for the lost time with your kids? Because I see the level of like enthusiasm you have with the kids when you're like jumping into the pool and doing all this shit, and it's like it just seems like you're more excited than the average person to get to do shit like that.
Nah, all of my kids don't live with me, you know. So that summertime, we basically every day we do something.
Mm.
Like every day we just ball out. Like, for real, like, we go to about 8-9 different Six Flags. We just ball out, you know what I'm saying? So I know I got 3 months before they gone again, so I got to turn the fuck up. Like, we got to turn up, we got to have fun and then enjoy with that. You know, we're going to turn up every day we do something.
That's amazing. Yeah, I mean, just seeing you do some of those dives in the water and shit and seeing yeah. how hard your kids are laughing, like, they just love you so much. It just had me, like...
Because I'm like, see, that's what I, because I'm like a friend of my kids.
Hmm.
That's why I be having to get them right sometimes. Because sometimes, man, I get, because now I think if you know what it is, I'm living my childhood dreams.
Right.
Because I couldn't have this as a kid, so now I could just do this shit, and they be down. We be going snowboarding and shit, like all this shit I never did before, now I can do it, so... I be on every roller coaster with them, like.
And it's crazy because you see it from your kids' eyes. Like, you might be a grown-ass man that is not necessarily, like, dying to go to the roller or to the amusement park and stuff, but you see it from your kids' perspective. You see how happy it makes them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just a lot of rappers think they're too cool to put shit like that on Instagram, and it was very motivating seeing you just not give a fuck.
Nah, that's because they ain't real niggas. Like, if you got a kid and you don't want to show them on Instagram, like, you not real. You gotta put your pride before anything. You ain't got no heart to stand up with what somebody going to say about you that makes you not 100% right. A soldier. But, it's the fun time. Like, without your kids, like, after you die, who you going to pass it on to?
I know. I'm 34 and I ain't reproduced yet. I think about that all the time.
You need to hang around me.
No, I mean, I got a girlfriend, but I've been pulling out for 2 years, you know?
Yeah. But, you know, you steady pulling out, but you hitting a raw, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I done got a girl pregnant with pre-cum.
Really?
Yeah. You know the shit that come out before it when your shit hard? Yeah.
Yeah, I got a girl pregnant when I was 20 because it was my first time drinking.
We can't be talking about all this shit.
Why not?
Blurry, he's not ready yet for all this.
Nah, he's cool. We were talking before. You like girls yet or not?
Yeah, what?
Just looking? You don't talk to him that much?
All these old-ass girls trying to get in my...
Oh, yeah, I saw
Summer
that.
Summer Rae needs to stop playing.
Summer Rae.
Yeah.
You know, she goes to my gym, so if you want, I could pass her a note from you or something.
Yeah. Hey, if you're watching this, DM me.
Her boyfriend goes to my gym, too.
I don't care about you.
Yeah. I mean, you with Boosie, so it really don't matter. Like, you don't know yet, but, like, you could change the dude's mind when you're rolling around with guys like Boosie. You could just have him pull him aside, have a word with him, and you might have the girl then.
And he know I'm a boss.
Yeah. You never strong-arm somebody?
Huh?
You never, like, strong-arm somebody? Just tell them, like, what they're going to do?
What's that?
Yeah, you'll learn when you get older. Pregnant off pre-cum. That's crazy to me, though, man. I've been the pull-out god my whole life. It never failed. I don't know.
Yeah, man. That pre-cum will get them, bro. Mm-hmm. You'll be arguing, talking about, I ain't nothing you when that fucking test come back. 99.9.
How many kids do you have?
Eight.
Do you feel like they might be catching feelings because you're choosing to spend more time with Lil Blurry currently?
Nah, I got lovable kids.
Mm.
They love Lil Blurry.
They do?
Yeah.
So they're not afraid of somebody who, like, grew up in a different environment or anything? They're very open-minded?
Nah, they just, they're happy kids.
Right.
Like, they love each other. It don't matter if they mama's not getting along, it don't matter who, they still love each other.
Right.
You know, they're not haters. They're not kids who came up wanting what other kids have.
Do you feel lucky you got to give them that experience because you didn't necessarily have that when you were a kid?
Yeah.
They grew up with a lot more comfort in their mind and shit, right?
They grew up with a lot of more, they went a lot of places as kids, you know, they stayed clean, you know, they know about the rap life and things like that, and they always was, you know, they was surrounded by, you know, money, you know, living in nice houses and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's important. I feel like seeing the world or just even seeing shit outside your neighborhood as a young kid is like a huge thing that really helps to like take a kid and like let them see that the world is bigger than just the block that they grew up on or whatever.
Right. It got to be like that because if not, you're going to, if that's all they see, they're going to want certain things that keep them in poverty, like just cars and things like that. They just want goals and jewelry and shit like that. When you don't see nothing else but that.
Right.
But if you, you know, you'll be satisfied with a 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom home. But if you grow up in a state, you're not going to want no 2-bedroom home.
Right.
That's not going to be in your mind as a kid.
Do your kids see more of, like, the realities of the rap shit because you're actually there to tell them? Because you've actually seen it all, whereas a lot of dads are sort of like, they're dads, but they're still tantalized by that rap lifestyle, and they still really, like, they haven't had it.
Nah, I let my kids see it. I let my kids see it, especially my girls, so they can know what type of, you know, if you want to choose these kind of men, this is what goes on. I don't hide that from them. My boys, they basically grew up trained by me, so I really just train them to be bosses and gentlemen. And but they know, they done seen a lot too, but you know.
Is it stressful raising the girls in particular?
Because
you know how bad dudes can be.
Yeah, with my girls, I get in my feelings with my girls more than my boys. I get in my feelings with my girls more than my boys because my girls love me so much. Mm. And my fear is them being attracted to me.
Because they're going to end up liking a guy like you.
Right, who ain't going to have that time for
like
them.
Like a little blurry.
You know what I'm saying? They ain't going to have that time for them. You heard?
I was just kidding. I'm assuming that if his daughters were going to date a guy like him, or a guy like you, he'd probably be happy. He's worried about his daughters dating a guy like him. This is a little different.
Nah, blurry. Blurry right now.
I'm so confused. Blurry.
He trying to throw a cross. He be asleep. I got him, though.
Yeah. No, they were asking me before. They were like, are we allowed to, like, smoke weed around blurry and shit? I'm like, bro, I mean, I'm sure there's got to be some sort of, like, decision made already about what he can be exposed to and shit.
Nah, we don't smoke around him. He know we smoke.
Right.
He got to get in the other room and shit.
What was that like getting off probation? How many years did you go where you couldn't, like, smoke with, like, peace of mind?
Well, I ain't go that long, you know. Sometimes I was sneaking.
Okay.
And I hit a little sometimes, but I had to go get clean, so it wouldn't be a bit of,
right.
And I had to get clean for 30 days, but most of the time I was clean. Not in jail, I was high and shit.
Right.
But most of the time I was clean, you know. I know I couldn't fuck up, so I wasn't trying to slip. I just knew I had to get off paper.
Yeah, yeah. When you first, you took a dab, right, when you got off?
I flew to California.
How was that?
Shit, I stayed for like 5 days, smoked probably 10 pounds.
Is it nice to be back?
Yeah, because everybody was happy for me to be out parole. Like, right. I was going play tier. Huh, smoke this. I'm like, ah, damn. So, you know, Cali, you know, it's proof out here. And everybody was looking out for me. They're, man, I saw you on Instagram. You done got out parole. Come see me, man. And they was blessing me.
Mm.
So I just sit down and just enjoy it, you know. It feel good smoking on camera.
Mm.
Like, that was just, you know, that was like big time for me.
It's like you're really in 2018 now.
Like, it's like, you know, like it was big time for me. Like, you know, I went to prison for this.
Yeah. So crazy.
Now I can smoke it in their face and smile.
And there's like CEOs making millions of dollars off of this shit now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's legal.
Yeah. Beautiful. We can just have it in here. But are you still would you feel uncomfortable smoking on camera where you actually live because the laws are more outdated?
I live in Atlanta, so it ain't legal out there. I think like downtown you get Coward Ounces a ticket or some shit like that.
Well, they busted the...
They just got Ty Dolla.
Don't know how much he had, but they got him somehow.
Yeah, so... I don't do what I do in Atlanta, what I do in California.
Right.
Because I know they watch.
You get a little too high during that process, though, of, like, smoking that much after not really smoking for a long-ass time? You ever get, like, kind of like, oh, God, man.
Nah, once you get in the rhythm, you back. It's just like riding a bike.
Mm.
Once you get back in the rhythm, you back, man. Once you get in your, you know, you back.
I feel that. But sometimes we'll be here and those mad people roll through and we'll smoke, like, 30 blunts in a night, and I'm just like... Like, I'll get home and just be like, man, I am way higher than I normally am right now.
Yeah. I like Cali because the cliffs and the views and shit. I like to get high and look at the cliffs and brainstorm my next move.
Yeah. The views are nice. And California or LA is one of the rare places where you can be right here in the middle of a city. You could drive 20 or 30 miles and you could be on the edge of a fucking canyon looking out over a mountain and shit.
Yeah, right. I like Cali.
Yeah. I seen you guys recording that video. It was
Which one?
Pretty nice scenery. I don't know. I was watching your Instagram story today.
Oh, yeah. We shot
and
the...
Now I made a video.
Yeah. It's hard, too.
That's going to be a big one.
It's hard, man.
Where's that premiering?
I'm not sure yet. Well, probably, hey. You know, hold up.
Keep me in mind. That's all I'm saying.
I got you. We're going to keep you
My audience, mind. they're blurry fans. They know I've been a blurry fan for a minute, too.
Okay, we might got to... hey.
But for the record, you signed with Boosie. You didn't sign with a label.
Nah, he's signed with me.
Okay. But, like, it's not like you through Atlantic or something?
Nah,
okay.
Not right now. We ain't even got no deal.
Yeah. What's your perspective on somebody like him, though? Should you just, like, build his career up before you even start to have those conversations?
I want to build his career, but we're willing to sit down with people also. You know, I want to build his career to where, you know, he the biggest star in the game. And we on process to do that right now.
Yeah.
We got the records, we got the videos, he got the work ethic. You know, everybody, his followers going up like, you know, he's jumping like basketball.
Do you see that thing where Lil Xan allegedly, like Columbia Records, set up him and Miley Cyrus's little sister?
Yeah.
You interested in that? You find you're a celebrity girl that you can have like a fake industry clout relationship with?
Yeah, maybe.
That's how the shit goes these days, man.
Nah,
Ariana Grande or something, if she's back on the market. I mean, I guess she's like 10 years too old for you, but.
Yeah, I don't know. She had too much of the, what's his name, Mac Miller, whatever that is.
The Mac Miller, but now she's on the Pete Davidson. Yeah. Mac Miller is more, well, okay, she's shown that she's willing to date a white rapper. Are you white?
Yeah.
Okay.
Half.
Half?
Yeah.
What's the other part?
Persian.
Persian. That's kind of like white.
Yeah.
That's dope. So you're like actually half Middle Eastern. You could hit both sides there.
Right.
Oh, we going to get that money.
Dubai money.
You know we going over there. Come on, you
pull
know.
Pull up on a camel.
You know that.
Pull up on a camel, he said. You got to be careful with that. Actually, I guess you're Persian, so it's all right. Oh, man. So I got a question for you, though. You ever feel bad when you're, like, looking at your ice and then you look at his ice and you're like, damn, I ain't really leveled up to that extent?
Nah, because he works hard, you know. Light work, you know, I'll get there eventually.
It takes a real man to rock a boss man knuckle ring, you know?
Yeah.
That was a big, crazy-ass statement about where you're at in your life right there. The Bible chain, too, bro. Like, I can't hide my enthusiasm. Like, the holy Bible chain that you had on today on Instagram?
Yeah.
That's some next-level shit right there. Like, what inspires you with the jewelry and shit?
Really, I don't even pay for jewelry. I got a relationship with my jeweler where we like brother.
Really?
You know, so, you know, I bring them big clients. I bring them big old clients in, you know, so I bring you somebody spending $300,000, you know, you got to give me something.
Right.
The drip.
You got to make me drip. Somebody, you know, so he give me a percentage off everything. You know, if I bring somebody in there, $200,000 and spend it.
Yeah,
give me a $30,000 for each one.
I mean, your shit is fire as fuck, though, just because you go super hard with just that real gold look.
That old school. Mm-hmm. Everybody going to get that white gold shit, but a lot of that white gold shit be flaky.
Yeah.
They get you with that white gold.
The gold is just classic, and when I see you wearing it, it just looks dope as fuck because it's just not that many people rock it like that anymore, you know?
Yeah, it's all like they have the white, it's all the same, you know, the little pump is all the same white gold.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, when you look at, like, Future and Young Thug and all the shit that they be wearing and stuff, it's like, I like someone who's willing to do something different in the jewelry shit, because it's like, when it comes to just sheer, like, ridiculously expensive, I spent $3 million on this thing, whatever, it's like, that is its own lane. It's so much cooler to just go in, like, a different direction, I feel like.
When you have a Bible on your neck,
that's a whole book.
I really got the big pieces because when I came home, I was trying to start my own lane again because, you know, when I came home, everybody was saying, don't nobody wear big chains no more. Mm. Ooh, everybody was telling me, like, don't nobody wear no big old chain. Everybody wear little... So I said, okay. We finna see about that.
Was that...
The lane was wide open, so I went and got a big-ass Jesus chain.
Was that one of the biggest changes that you saw while you were locked up for that long? Was it like, I mean, you probably came out and all of a sudden nobody was wearing jean shorts anymore.
Nah, when I came out, it was like a whole different world in 5 years. You know, they had FaceTime, you know.
That shit
fucked me up when I first saw that.
That's a good point.
You know, they had FaceTime. Everybody was dressing different.
But you're somebody who, like, you know, at the end of the day, and I don't want to talk shit about anybody, but it's, well, okay, I'm not going to use specific rappers as references in this, but you want to be the dude who's supporting the young up-and-coming dudes. If you turn yourself into this, you know, icon who can't be touched, who can't do features with anybody, who can't, you know, run around in the streets with the young rappers and stuff, then eventually rap is such a young man's game that your brand just starts to get old real quick. But if you're able to actually show that you fuck with the younger people and that you can actually, like, work with them and stuff, your career could be three times as long.
Right.
I feel like you're like a person who's definitely seemed like you could
do that. Yeah, you know, all the younger generation fuck with me, you know. I like seeing them win.
Mm.
You know, I like seeing them win. Like, all the younger generation fuck with me. Every one of them, bro. Every one of them salute me. And, you know, I always give them positive words, just tell them, keep on going, you know, tell him get this rap money. I love telling him get this rap money, you know what I'm saying? So I'm one of the guys who you never hear me hating on the younger generation.
That's always a bad idea.
You never that I don't see how people can go at how can you go at someone 10, 12 years older than you, 13, 15 years younger than you. Even 18, 17. When you were 17, they was a baby, a kid.
Right.
How could you hate on them?
Totally. Yeah, because it's like that attitude just isn't going to last very long. It's like at the end of the day, you always want to be the person who's helping to like bring people up in the game. Otherwise, it's just, I hate to throw the names out there, but I always think of Nicki Minaj. And like, I feel like if she had been more supportive of the young up and coming girl rappers, then she would have more love right now.
Yeah.
Not that she's done anything too crazy or whatever, but it just feels like, you know, young people are not stupid. Like, they see what's going on, and they ultimately want to support the people that seem like they actually fuck with the younger generation now.
Right.
Speaking of wise words, you have one of the best Instagrams, period. Like, nobody has as much fun on Instagram as you. And, like, all right, there's a lot of inspirational quotes. Like, do you just have certain days where you're just like, fuck it, I'm dropping some fucking quotes on Instagram?
Yeah, some days I wake up and say, I'm just finna go petty. I'm just finna make motherfuckers. It's petty day. It's Mr. Motherfucking Petty. You know, so some days, you know, I wake up and I just won't fuck off and play, you know. Some days.
All right, here's an example of that. This is a quote that I saw you put on Instagram a few months ago. And also, I think my girlfriend was kind of offended that I thought this was so funny. Bitches be 29. No man, 3 kids, 4 BFs, no ass.
Just 29.
My girl's 27, but I was laughing so hard at that, I thought she felt something. Hey, man, it's true. At some point in your life, you got to, you know, get your shit together. And, I mean, it might not be fair, but our standard for when a woman should get her shit together seems like it's a little bit different than a man.
Right.
You could be a dude 29 still running around, and it's not viewed as bad.
Right, exactly.
But then at the same time, you know, it's like, I always say that. I'm like, you know, you can be like an 18-year-old piece of shit, like just not really doing too much, and it's all right. But if you're 34, you got no excuse. You had 16 extra years to work on some shit.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not going to do this to the whole interview or anything, but I just like this one, too. I believe ugly girls get pregnant just to prove they have sex.
Real shit, though. Like, real shit, bro. Like, for real shit. How come the ugly motherfucker always pregnant?
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't be getting that. You better see them cute motherfuckers pregnant now. Back in the day, it used to be all the cute motherfuckers pregnant.
Right. Yeah, that is weird, man. You don't see that many Instagram models getting pregnant and
shit. You don't really see the motherfuckers trying for a career. You don't really see motherfuckers on IG pregnant. Hell nah. Back in the days, everybody was pregnant. It was 16, 17 years old. They was having babies like it wasn't shit.
A lot of these girls, by the time they get to, like, you know, 25, they put so much goddamn money into their tits, their ass, their face, that it's a big decision. If you put $50,000 into your body, having a kid, I mean, it's a whole different thing.
Right. I ain't into that. I've been off the. That shit ain't been attracting me. All the fake shit.
Really?
That shit, cause I see it so much. You know, now I'm just so attracted to natural women. Like, natural women just turning me on right now.
Really?
Like, natural women just cause I'm tired of seeing big asses, you know, big old titties.
I'm going to the Pornhub Awards tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
So I'm going to definitely be appreciating a lot of fake body parts while I'm out there. My girl's nominated.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because she's like a private Snapchat girl, right?
Yeah.
And we've been together for 2 years, but she's never actually done porn. So she's nominated as Celebrity of the Year, she's with like Kim Kardashian and shit on this list because it's just a list of people who haven't done actual porn but have been searched a lot.
Yeah.
So she's been searched a lot. I feel like she could win. And that's going to be a very great day for me as a human being. I don't care what happens after that. You support? You searched it?
Nah.
Don't tell me you've ever been to Pornhub, Blurry.
Never.
You tell me that, I'm going to feel weird. I'm going to have to tell the authorities.
I actually haven't.
I will snitch on you.
I actually haven't. I'm being real.
If you ever send me a selfie with a blunt or something, I'm forwarding it to the police chief.
Okay.
That's just the kind of uncle I am. Okay, let me ask you an honest question, Boosie, though. When you hop in the car, you're putting on some music, you're by yourself, what you throwing on?
Boosie, I mostly listen to myself, I ain't gonna lie.
Really? New stuff? Unreleased shit?
Nah, unreleased shit. New shit. Like, I mostly listen to myself. I mostly listen to the product I done that week.
Mm.
That's what I listen to the whole week.
Because you got
to
figure out how good it is?
Nah, I just got a, it's called homework. When I listen to it, I go back and listen to it to see what I missed.
Mm.
And I come back and listen to it and get in everything that I feel I missed. But mostly it's just Boosie, bro. Like, if I'm on a road trip or something, still Boosie because my homie's in. You know, sometimes when I get by myself, I don't listen to me. When I get by myself, I listen to blues. You know, I listen to all kind of shit when I get by myself.
Has it always been that way? Have you always taken a lot of influence from, like, blues and different types of music? Because you feel, like, that pain in your music,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I got a blues album.
Really?
Yeah, I got a blues album done right now.
Oh, done? Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah. Damn, that's
it's
exciting.
It's fire, too.
Wow.
I'm about to be fire.
No, we're ready for that, yeah.
You go, hey, guess what it's called?
Boosie Blues.
What?
The Boosie Blues Cafe.
Fire.
Fire, bro.
That's going multi-platinum.
I'm telling you.
I definitely need that. Hey, what's the creative process for you, though? Are you a writer or a punching guy these days?
When it's ratchet, I go straight in.
Mm.
When a beat is deep, I'll write it. If I feel like I gotta, if I feel like I gotta reach deep. If most of my words gonna be heard in this beat, I gotta sit down and brainstorm my life and see how I'm finna put it together.
Mm.
That's how I do it. But if it's just some club shit, I can just go in there line for line.
And it's kind of interesting because I feel like your personal life has gotten a lot more upbeat, a lot more fun over the past, 10 years, whatever. But when you actually look at your music has got more heartfelt and more serious sometimes. Whereas I feel like when you were young and you were really wrapped up in all this shit, that's when your music was maybe a little bit more lighthearted. Like, how would you describe the change that's taken place in your music over the years?
I feel like the more I get, the more I go through. Back then, I feel like I was going through a lot of stuff because I wanted to go through it. I was bringing a lot of smoke.
You choose the bullshit when you're younger.
Yeah. Like, I was choosing the bullshit. Like, I was waiting on you to try me, like shit like that. Like, I was a ticking time bomb. I was calm, but I like to show people I ain't to be, played with and shit. But now, my music, it's more pain because I done got more successful and a lot of people grabbing at me. I'm seeing betrayal I ain't never seen before through everybody. Like, it's crazy. So, and that's just how I am as an artist. Whatever I'm going through at the time, I got to express it.
Mm.
And lately, it's been a lot of stuff going on.
Just bullshit that you got to deal with in life?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear that. What are you excited about at this point, aside from your new signee here? Like, what are you motivated by, and like, what are you excited that you've been working on? Are we gonna hear that blues album anytime soon?
I'm going to meet with Atlantic, see if they won't add this to my last little agreement. If not, I'm gonna drop it independent.
Who do you meet with Atlantic?
Craig. I meet with the boss.
Okay, nice. I'm a Mike Caron guy, so.
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
I got an album I'm finna drop in a couple months called Badass 3.5. It's hard. I went kind of ratchet on this album. I went back to the club shit, crazy shit.
Where's Webby at?
I don't know.
You don't ever talk to him?
Yeah, I talked to him, but I don't know where he at right now. We just did a show and. It was in Detroit. We just did a show together, so I'm just trying to see what he gonna do. See when we gonna get back in that studio and make some more music.
Somebody scared the fuck out of me the other day because sometimes the chat on here they'll be trying to say that people died that did not really die, trying to trick me.
Yeah.
And they made me Google Webby.
Oh yeah.
They tricked me for a minute.
Everyone said like Lil Yachty died.
They were saying that. Yeah. Oh yeah. They say Pump's dead every night. Every night they're trying to convince me Pump's dead. Nah, but they said it about Webby, which is. Kudos to you because it actually tricked me. I actually Googled it because I was like, damn, that doesn't sound like something they would just make up.
Right.
I was upset. I was like, we can't, that's going to be a really bad moment for the culture.
Right.
Shit. So what you guys? How long are you guys in LA? With any more plans?
We're just gonna make a couple more records.
You know, just work hard.
What's the plan about you guys doing a song together? Is that possible?
Yeah, we have a little something coming out.
We got something finna come out now.
That's powerful.
I'm just on the hook, just you know, like and he's going in.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm ready for it.
And we working like he do like three songs an hour. Like he go in like this. All you gotta do is say, like that's working. Like that's special.
That's the kids these days. I feel like they are very used to that process of just going in there and just fucking putting something together.
I couldn't do it. And when I first came home, the first person I saw do it was Rich Homie Quan. The first person I saw do it, he put the beat on. And he just went in there like, Buffer Boy, Razor Voodoo. I'm like, I ain't had never seen that.
Rich Homie Quan go crazy.
Hey, bro.
Like, I'm not, I heard the.
That's an old school rapper to you.
What?
I'm telling you,
no,
bro.
That was a slapper back in elementary school.
Oh, yeah, that was a slapper. No, he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
No, he actually goes pretty far.
No, yeah.
He's going to come back. I feel it.
I definitely.
Him and, like, Designer.
Designer?
Yeah. Oh,
that's a more old school rap for you.
Nah.
You know what? I feel bad because I'm reading the Pimp C biography right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like halfway through or some shit, but your name is not really in it yet. Like we didn't really like hit that point where they talk about when you two sort of joined forces and shit, which is a shame because I wish I could talk about that more intelligently.
Yeah. But you know, I don't really know who overwriting that book. But you know, I just want to tell Pimp C if he's listening right now, thanks for you know helping me out, you know, giving me a shot. You know what I'm saying? Pimp C did a lot for my career. He helped me out.
Legend, yeah. It's one of the most, I don't know, just an icon. Just the image that I got him in my head from even as a kid and shit. It was just, I don't know. Always one of my favorites. Rest in peace. I don't know. Anything else we want to cover before we wrap this up?
We just working, man. We just working. We just want to let them know that Lil Blurry finna be a force to be reckoned with.
I love Lil Blurry because he's like he grew up watching my shit.
I'm excited to get going. He fuck with you.
I
know.
Like he fuck with you.
That first clip from that song, he had a video and he's wearing my shirt. I'm like,
you don't know how he fuck with you, bro. He like he was so happy, bro. Like Adam Jones doing it.
Oh man, that's so amazing because you know. I don't know. Like, I was saying that to them. I'm like, I probably wouldn't have got a Boosie interview today if it wasn't for Lil Blurry. So that's my plug. Amazing. All right, yo, I appreciate you guys coming in. I'm very excited to see what comes forward in the near future. I got to get a photo with you while I'm wearing this shirt.
Oh, man, that's funny as fuck. Yeah. So. That's funny.
The Adam fade.
I'm excited. The Adam fade.
Hey, Adam fade.
I'm about to get a whole lot of Bosley done so that this can be a reality. Yo, much love. Shout out to the stream. We will be right back on momentarily. Just got to take some photos real quick.
Yo.
Gang.